Amazon enrolled millions of people in Prime without their consent.
$30 million in settlements for maybe violating the privacy of you and your kids.
Billion-dollar AI data center in Indiana, one of the largest in the world, is now live.
Emissions rose more than 68 million metric tons of greenhouse gases last year.
High injury rates are linked to the extreme production quotas that Amazon workers must hit.
The sweeping antitrust case against Amazon, alleging it operates as an illegal monopoly,
causes online shoppers to face artificially higher prices, even when shopping somewhere other than Amazon.
I need you to close your eyes and imagine your Amazon account and your purchase history. How many of those items were things you needed versus things you wanted? And how many of those things could have been purchased elsewhere for a similar price? How many of those things would you have still purchased if you had to go in person and shop for them? Or was buying it online with one click just so easy? I need you to be honest. Do you need Amazon? If you answered yes, then please know I'm not addressing you personally today. Something I like to talk about in my videos is how to live more ethically. And I know that means something different to everyone, and I'm not perfect at all, but I'm trying to be a good example and make better choices based on the things that I value, like sustainability for this earth and the life on it, empathy, equity, what benefits the greater good, treating others how they'd like to be treated. I don't even care if that sounds stupid. Those are things that I try to consider before taking certain actions. One of those actions being buying things. So because of all that, I thought it would be relevant to talk about one of, if not the biggest obstacle I see in the way of making better purchasing choices, which is Amazon. I feel like this one company has their hands deep in every lane of evil. Like, it's one thing to be evil in one way, like a company that has really great labor practices, but they fall short on the animal products like fur or leather that they might use to source clothing. Bad, but maybe more forgivable depending on your values. Like, at least they're trying something. Amazon is so bad in so many different ways that they get their own video. And there's something unique about Amazon that is particularly frustrating to me, and it's kind of hard to explain, but to me, they are a great example of proving that you can act morally wrong as a business. And not only will you not suffer significant consequences, but people and consumers will bend over backwards and compromise their values to continue giving you their money in order for you to grow. To me, they're like the ultimate example of what happens when a company becomes too big and too powerful. They will still be supported even when plenty of people say they hate what you do. The impact of Amazon is so fucking huge that they have shaped culture and molded society so that people prioritize consumerism and efficiency at the top of our list. And I'm sure some people will accuse me of being overdramatic, but what I think is overdramatic is people in positions of privilege claiming they couldn't live without Amazon. Today, I'm going to go through a non-exhaustive list of sins that Amazon has committed and the greater consequences of allowing Amazon to succeed in the way that it has been, and what could be done to try and limit it before it gets worse, and we're all living our lives bowing down to a smile logo, and the only national holiday will be Prime Day. Obviously, if I'm going to give some background on Amazon's beginnings, I have to talk about Jeffrey Preston Bezos, former richest man in the world, now at number 3. And I'll admit that unlike some wealthy people, he's not an idiot who had everything handed to him. Bezos clearly had skill and smarts and interest in science and technology from a young age. He was high school valedictorian, a National Merit Scholar. He graduated from Princeton, summa cum laude. Doesn't seem like Bezos was born into generational wealth on third base, but maybe he was born on first base. And when he was 30 and started Amazon, by that time, he definitely was on third base. A lot of people will say that he really is self-made because his parents weren't that successful and his mom had him very young and she was going to night school with a baby, which is true, but his dad worked at Exxon for many years and his parents gave him an investment of $250,000 when he first started Amazon. So they couldn't have been doing that bad. It's not like they were anywhere near poor or even middle class if they were comfortable enough to do that. In 94, when Bezos started Amazon, it's not like he was even middle class. He left his Upper West Side apartment and job as a senior VP at a Wall Street hedge fund to go start his own business. And ultimately, he set up in Washington State. But in an early interview, he mentioned that he considered setting up near San Francisco on a Native American reservation because he would have had access to great tech talent there, but without the tax consequences. I know that's just one tiny detail and it didn't come to fruition, but it tells me that Jeff Bezos, from the very beginning, was looking for opportunities and ways to exploit the loopholes of the system to make as much money as possible and follow as few rules as possible, all to his advantage. Technically, Amazon was started in his garage. And yes, I do put quotation marks around that because Bezos said that he did that intentionally. So he could be like other entrepreneurs who said that they started in a garage. Like, he already had his humble beginnings storyline written in his head. Although the Bezos garage was converted to a family rec room with a linoleum floor, but he still thinks it was somewhat legitimate because it wasn't insulated. In that same interview from 1996, where he talked about the Native reservation, he also claimed that Amazon would not cause physical bookstores to go out of business and that there was room at the table for everyone, which is so ironic considering what we would see happen later and how Amazon would go on to dominate and monopolize plenty of other industries, bookstores just being the tip of the iceberg. Funny enough, one of the first lawsuits ever brought against Amazon was by Barnes & Noble in 97, where they claimed Amazon, calling itself the world's largest bookstore, was incorrect. And they ended up settling out of court. To be fair, I actually think Amazon had a decent argument at that time. It's pretty clear to me that Barnes & Noble was just starting to panic about this growing competitor being an online marketplace that was very new at the time. That year was also when Amazon went public, and they had their first profitable year in 2001, which I'm sure was not fast enough for the shareholders, but to me sounds pretty quick, especially considering the dot-com bubble burst was happening at that time. Definitely an uphill battle. But at the end of the day, they got in early to online shopping, which Bezos and his team could clearly see was going to be the new normal. They were right about that. At the base level, it was a good idea for a business. Although, I guess that depends on what you consider a good idea. I'll come back to that one later. I think on a graph, Amazon's profit growth and their unethical behaviors probably would both look a lot like this. In the early days, things are pretty normal, business as usual, not a ton to report. But by the early 2000s and 2010s, then it was just one scandal after another. But also by that time, they had enough money to cover things up and make sure that a lot of their disgusting practices didn't see the light of day. Before I go into more detail about a number of Amazon's illegal and, I think, immoral actions, I just want to say I do have some beef with like what Amazon is at the root of it. Even if they didn't commit a number of these labor exploitations and environmental destructions that I'm going to talk about next, I still think I wouldn't want to support them because I just don't see how Amazon's business model could not lead to monopolization. Out of all e-commerce retail sales in America, Amazon now accounts for 40%. Amazon is a superstore, a lot like Walmart or Target, and superstores are good business ideas when it comes to convenience and accessibility. Customers are now able to buy a lot of things that they couldn't buy before. Superstores are not good for small businesses, competition, variety in the marketplace, or high quality goods that take time but last forever. An online marketplace like Amazon is not good for the habit of mindful shopping, careful consideration, or buying with intent. And I know it's kind of hard to imagine shopping without Amazon because it has so quickly become normalized and ubiquitous, and it's taken away options that we used to have. And not just options when it comes to buying things, but also options when it comes to employment. Naturally, when Amazon overtakes other businesses' sales, it leads them as well to consolidate those businesses' jobs. Amazon has over 1.5 million workers across the globe, a vast majority of which are in America, and a vast majority of those are warehouse workers. I'm going to focus mostly on the horrors of being an Amazon fulfillment center employee or delivery driver just for the sake of time, but please know, being a white-collar worker at Amazon, you are not exempt from hostile workplace conditions, whether that be suffering micromanagement at the hands of Bezos himself, and being impossible to please, or just having your brain worked so far into overtime that it fries. Over the years, Amazon and its subsidiaries have had to pay fines totaling over $106 million for wage and hour and employment screening violations. One example being when the FTC accused Amazon of taking tips away from its delivery drivers, which they did stop doing after they found out the issue was being investigated. They've had to pay $4 million more in fines of safety violations, which is pennies to a trillion-dollar company, and they've done a really good job, especially lately, in keeping most of these safety-related stories out of the press. I felt like maybe 5 years ago, I kept on hearing things about like workers having to pee in bottles and not getting any time for breaks. But in recent years, I don't know if it's just their PR team going into overdrive, but a lot of that has not gone away, but no longer sees the spotlight anymore. And peeing in bottles is sadly a pretty minor infraction when it comes to the bigger dangers that warehouse workers are up against. According to this analysis of OSHA data, Amazon ranks number one when it comes to serious injuries for warehouse workers. And not only that, their rates of serious injuries is double the amount compared to other warehouses. One Amazon employee who suffered a herniated disc on the job said that the company literature on health and wellness described warehouse workers as industrial athletes. And if you think that's bad, serious injuries on the job are just a stepping stone to dying on the job. And just to be clear, I don't think that Amazon should be taking full responsibility for an employee who maybe has a heart attack on the job, because that heart attack cannot fully be blamed just because they work at Amazon. But I think you could make a case that there's at least a little responsibility falling on them, given the physical and mental demanding nature of the job and what it's like to be a warehouse worker at some of the most intense, high pressure, physically demanding warehouses in the world. There has been time after time where investigation into Amazon discovers that their employees are at higher risk for back pain, different disorders like skeletal and muscle disorders, strain on mental health, and even worse, Amazon manipulates this data to make their warehouses seem like they're more safe to work at than they actually are. Amazon's response every time stuff like this comes up always seems to be like, oh, we're working on things, we're improving, we're going to spend this big sounding number into safety, or we're being forced to pay this big sounding number because we violated safety. We're building little meditation stations on the floor that you can use to take a break. Spending money is not enough to solve these problems. In fact, money is the root of these problems. Prioritizing speed and efficiency and pushing workers as far as they can go in order to make as high of a profit as you can is exactly why these problems exist. Turnover rate at Amazon warehouses is 150%. But churning through employees and treating them as disposable is exactly why Jeff Bezos and other top executives are billionaires. A lot of people have to get stepped on in order for a few to get to the top. Not only is Amazon a huge offender when it comes to how they treat its employees, but also they treat the environment as completely expendable and exploitable. And a lot of big companies do a song and dance about corporate responsibility and make pledges and promises about how good they're going to do for the planet. But I feel like Amazon's song and dance is especially big. Like, they want to be seen as a leader in sustainability, which is kind of weird. Like, I feel like even Amazon's top customers, people who are ride or die for their Prime account, aren't falling for this sad attempt at greenwashing. No one likes Amazon because they think that they're doing good for the planet. Just stop. You're a company that encourages overconsumption and permanent piles of cardboard boxes and packaging in people's houses that never go away. Anyway, in 2020, when I all know we remember how huge online shopping was, where Amazon corners the market, Amazon released a carbon footprint report showing they emitted about 60 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. In comparison, Target, who made four times less revenue than Amazon that year, showed closer to emitting 70 million metric tons. Makes it sound like Amazon is doing a lot better when it comes to their competitors, other superstores. Target is no saint, but in this report, if a customer buys a Samsung TV, Target includes the emissions for producing that TV and also for using that product after it's purchased. Amazon only includes those product emissions in their report if the product is from their own private label, like Amazon Basics or Kindle, those kinds of things, which account for only 1% of their product sales. And I know you might be thinking, okay, but a lot of Amazon sales come from third-party companies who are really just using Amazon as a marketplace. And that's true. And maybe it makes sense for those products to be reported by those third-party companies, not by Amazon. But there's also a large chunk, about 40% of Amazon sales, where Amazon buys the product directly from the manufacturer and then sells it directly to the consumer. And emissions for those products weren't included in their reporting either. And they also didn't include any estimate of emissions based on their employees' driving commutes. They only included emissions for like their private Amazon shuttles. Don't know why they would do that, aside from they're just trying to come up with creative ways to avoid including certain numbers so that they can look better. The point is, Amazon is using multiple loopholes or just straight up ignoring the rules when it comes to admitting how much it is polluting the environment. And they're using loopholes and getting around things in ways that even other, like, gigantic evil corporations are more honest about. Amazon and its subsidiaries have been fined over $10 million for various environmental violations, going back to 2018, where the EPA found out they were selling illegal pesticides and fined them $1.2 million. But of course, they didn't learn their lesson, because in 2022, California found they were doing it again, so they just fined them $5 million this time. I could keep going, but I want to make sure I talk about data centers for a little bit. This is a hot topic right now. People are realizing quickly that AI is very resource intensive, and companies keep building more and more of these data centers that suck up electricity and water and generally ruin the entire area that they're touching. And for once, I'm actually pretty surprised that this is all coming to light so quickly in the public. Usually, I feel like these industries are better at keeping it under wraps for longer, but I'm not complaining. I'm sure it will not be surprising to know that Amazon, just like all the other shitbag companies, is banking big into AI. Anthropic is an AI company young enough to still be considered a startup, founded by some former members of OpenAI, and partially due to the multi-billion dollar investments from Amazon, Anthropic is currently valued at the third most valuable private company in the world. And it's only a few years old, and I hadn't even heard of it. Part of the deal between Amazon investing into Anthropic meant that they agreed they would use Amazon Web Services as its primary cloud provider. So it's like a double whammy. Companies like Anthropic are building more data centers because AI is expanding and growing, and then AWS is building more data centers to support these AI companies' cloud computing requirements. Data centers growing like crazy due to anticipated AI demand is horrible, and I know we're going to pay the price for it. But even if there wasn't a giant AI bubble right now, I would still be concerned about the negative impacts that AWS centers are going to have and have been having, because those have been around for a lot longer than the AI boom, which is quite new. Amazon is a retail company, but they're just as much a tech company, if not more so, due to AWS. Cloud computing is a very concentrated industry. You basically have three main players: Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. Amazon having the largest market share. This AWS data center in Oregon has been causing cancer, kidney problems, miscarriages, and other serious health issues, and it's been around since 2011. Last year, data centers accounted for 4% of America's electricity usage, which is a pretty bad place to start considering the AI expansion had barely just begun. Compared to the other big tech companies, including Google, Apple, Meta, and Microsoft, Amazon is the worst by a long shot when it comes to emissions. They claim to be carbon neutral, but that all depends on how you calculate carbon neutrality. If you don't include all of the renewable energy certificates and offsets that Amazon purchases, their emissions are much more than what they say. In a leaked letter from an Amazon employee to the FTC, it's estimated that Amazon has about 900 data centers worldwide, many of which are not publicly disclosed, but all are definitely using a shitload of electricity. The two primary energy sources for data centers are coal and natural gas. The latter is expected to continue providing the largest share of energy to data centers through 2030 rather than any renewable sources. But maybe caring about the planet enough to stop supporting Amazon is asking too much. The data center isn't poisoning the water in your backyard yet. And maybe you don't like how Amazon treats their employees, but you're not an Amazon employee. And most of the time, you don't have to think about it. Maybe you're just looking for examples of a more direct negative impact Amazon would have on you as a regular customer of theirs. I'm guessing if you're watching this video, you have a wider circle of empathy, but maybe you're looking for talking points for people who you know don't have that. And this part of the video is still really important when it comes to harm caused by Amazon. But much of it happens under the radar, or it happens in a way where it's not obvious that Amazon is responsible for it. For example, Amazon owns Alexa and Ring, both of which are ripe for collecting voice and facial data. In fact, they pretty much require doing that to function. And Amazon denies breaking the law on this, but a few years back, they agreed to pay the FTC and settle for $25 million for, number one, allegedly collecting voice data and saving it to use to train its algorithm, including children's voice data from Alexa, after explicitly telling its customers that they would delete them. And number two, Ring camera data was allegedly available practically unrestricted to thousands of employees and contractors to view videos of people in their homes, which I think is a clear violation of privacy. If you have Alexa or Ring, you could have been affected by these things and not even know. They're not going to send you an email saying, hey, we were violating your rights a few years ago, but all good, it's fixed now. Also related to facial recognition technology, Amazon in 2016 released a software service called Amazon Recognition, which has since been pushed to a number of governmental bodies, including some local and state police departments, the FBI, and ICE. Some studies showed that the software service was unfairly biased in misidentifying women and people of color. Although, in 2020, after a lot of pressure, Amazon agreed to a pause on any police use of recognition, and they extended that in 2021. And as far as I can tell, it's still banned, but I think they're just waiting on clearer regulation. This quote from a digital rights advocacy group is still very appropriate, in my opinion. They've been calling for the federal government to regulate facial recognition because they want their corporate lawyers to help write the legislation to ensure it's friendly to their surveillance capitalist business model. Public bodies like police departments or ICE are not going to be touting how much they're using a private company, third-party facial recognition software, because why would they? And Amazon's not going to be touting how much these government bodies are using their software because they know it'll receive backlash. But just know, this software is only going to get more popular and this use of technology is only going to increase. And it might seem cut and dry that it's a government error or a police error if someone is misidentified through the use of this technology. But it might be Amazon behind it, and you might never expect that. Data collection is just one huge bucket to pick from when it comes to Amazon sins, but if you're looking for some more direct negative impact on Amazon customers, I've got two more for you. One being intentionally deceptive practices around signing up for a Prime account and taking your money on a monthly or yearly basis, and two, price fixing practices that make it so you may be paying more for the same product. Just a couple of months ago, Amazon reached another settlement of $2.5 billion for enrolling millions of customers into having Prime accounts without their explicit consent and then making it unreasonably difficult for them to cancel. And this is like a record-breaking high settlement for Amazon and the FTC. And I hate that it hasn't become a bigger story, but I feel like part of the reason why is because Amazon has embedded itself so deeply into society, become so normalized, that I suspect this affected more people than they're even saying. Some people probably looked into their Amazon account and realized they were signed up for Prime and thought, I don't think I signed up for that. but I'll just keep it. Everyone has it. I guess I should... No! Do you not realize the precedent that you're setting up when you allow a company to essentially get away with taking your money without you agreeing to it? The consequences of that, I fear to see. Along with that, going back to the price fixing issue I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons Amazon is so commonplace now is not just because of convenience, but because of low prices, or at least people believe that Amazon has the lowest prices. And maybe sometimes they do, but there has been lawsuits over the years, some that are still in legal battles, making the case that Amazon has used anti-competitive tactics that create an artificial price floor. Basically, their policies have made it very hard for third-party sellers to offer their prices lower anywhere besides Amazon. So these companies are backed into a corner. They have to sell on Amazon because that's where everyone buys their stuff, and they can't even incentivize customers to buy it direct from them instead by offering a lower price because of Amazon's difficult policies. So they're just stuck. They have to offer their products for the cheapest at Amazon, and they make less money from that because obviously with Amazon being this marketplace, they're going to take as big of a cut of the sale as they possibly can. And the small business ends up with less money in the end. There's also been allegations that Amazon colluded with major publishers to drive up the price of ebooks, which they certainly have dominated the market there. And they also used to have this algorithm, weirdly named Project Nessie, which was driving up prices not just on Amazon, but also on other retailers. And luckily, they're not using that anymore, or at least that's what they say, and they haven't been caught using it lately. So I guess we just have to take that at face value. The point is, you could probably be paying less for products if Amazon wasn't so determined to monopolize the entire universe. If I had more time, I would keep going. And I talk about Amazon's labor union busting and monumental tax avoidance and their infiltration into news media and entertainment media and healthcare and donations to the Trump administration and providing Israel's military with AI and other technology and a bunch of other things. If you thought what I talked about in this video was bad, it really was just the tip of the iceberg, and there are only going to continue to be more things added to Amazon's list of sins. All I can hope for is that exposure to this information will make more people less likely to support Amazon and give them their money. And unfortunately, I do just mean in the retail sense for online shopping, because I don't think it's practical or even possible to boycott AWS unless you want to give up the internet completely, because a lot of the time you can't even know whether or not an online site or company is using AWS or not. So just for shopping purposes, I've been boycotting Amazon. They haven't received a dollar of my money for years. So I know it's doable for someone like myself who is on a more comfortable income, but I also know people who are on much lower incomes who don't shop at Amazon either, so it's still possible. If nothing else, it's a step on the path to buying less, consuming less, not just shit from Amazon, but overall. Also, I know voting is a small thing, but it's better than nothing. So supporting individuals who are in favor of outside regulation against monopolies and just regulation in general, and trust busting. It is possible to live a normal, happy, regular person life without Amazon, where you just get your needs and wants elsewhere. I know a lot of people find boycotts intimidating, and rightly so. A lot of people will say, like, there's just so many bad companies out there. If I boycotted every single one, then I wouldn't be able to buy anything. And I get where you're coming from. Like, filling up your car with gas, you're probably shit out of luck. The chances that you live near a gas station where the provider is not evil is probably zero. But I think there's a much higher likelihood that you're able to buy things, whether it's in person or online, even if it's from a company who has done wrong, pales in comparison to the sins of Amazon. I hope that you found this video interesting, maybe learned some things. If you did, please consider giving it a like or subscribing, and thanks for watching.